This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Twelve o'clock. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Joining me now, Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Mike, I was talking about, I don't know if you're familiar with this story, but Ben Johnson, the head coach of the Bears, was apologizing for how he treated a reporter at one of the halftime. You know, when they asked questions at halftime or whatever, he was kind of short with them, whatever. Made me think about this, Mike. You have been doing this for a very long time. Have you asked a question to a coach where they snapped at you and it was uncomfortable?
Yeah, every reporter's had that happen to him.
Do you recall a specific, you don't have to necessarily name the coach, but do you recall like a specific question you asked and the coach was like not happy with you for asking it?
The most uncomfortable I ever was covering Northern Colorado baseball. Because we would do interviews in the dugouts, and I remember talking to the coach at the time, asking him about his pitching staff, and he was not happy with them, so he was not happy with me for asking about it in front of the entire team, because everybody's getting everything out of their stuff back in the day. So, yeah, I got undressed by an unhappy baseball manager in front of his entire team.
Oh, so pretty uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, nobody wants to get yelled at. Nobody wants to get yelled at in front of an entire team that you're covering. And he apologized later in private. but, you know, it was fine. I mean, but also back then, I knew all the players anyway. And they just kind of let it go. I mean, it was like nobody got mad at me for asking the question. It was just... it was a bad doubleheader, and it was a bad day to ask him if the sky was blue. So,
Mike, I remember the first time I ever had Larry Eustace on the show, and it was right before CSU was getting ready to play CU. And I went in, asked, you know, whatever question to start it off. He cut me off in the middle of the question, and he said, "Well, this must be a good game because you've never asked me to be on your show once." And it totally threw me off the rest of the interview. I did not know what to say for the next follow-up. I'm like, you're great. We like, I mean, it was weird.
It can get that point. But every reporter's been there, whether it's one-on-one and you stumble through a question or you're in a press conference situation and you misphrase a question. Like, it's perfect in your head, and then you start to speak, and it's another language. And you also got to understand people have bad days, right? Mm-hmm. Reporters have bad days, but coaches have bad days. They're never particularly happy after a loss. And just depending on what else is going on, yeah, they could just, even the most benign question can set them off just because they're mad. And I think as a reporter, you almost have to expect it at times. I mean, you're just not going to catch everybody on a perfect day.
Do you think about that, Mike, in your process? Like when you're watching games and you're like, "Oh, they're losing. This is going to be a rough press." Does that cross your brain anymore, or are you numb to that kind of stuff now?
I don't know if I phrase it like that in my brain. You do know if a team wins, it's easier to talk to them about. And I'm kind of a smartass to begin with.
What?
And it opens up questions. If everybody's in a happy mood, you can ask them some smart out questions, and it's fine, and everybody finds it funny. You can't do that after a loss because nobody's in a joking mood. You think about it that way, but you still think about the fact that I've got to ask this question.
Mm-hmm. Mike Brohard joining us, CSURams.com. Mike, hey, first off, you're a baseball guy. I'm surprised.
I'm watching the playoffs right now as we speak.
You think Cleveland's going to pull this off? Or do you like Detroit in this one today, right now?
I'm good either way. I do really like the way that Cleveland got hot.
Yeah.
So you'd like to kind of see that going.
Yeah. Well, tied up 1-1 right now, so we'll see.
Derek's pretty tough customer.
Yeah. Mike Brohard joining us. All right, Mike, so talk to me a little bit about this play calling change. Jay Norvell, Matt Mummy, take us through what that actually looks like. Like, is Matt officially calling the plays now, or is this more about who's relaying the play calls out to the quarterback and such?
I can see where there's confusion.
Yeah. We've had some texters that are like, I still don't really understand 100% who's calling the plays.
I think pretty much Matt will be calling plays. Jay will still have his input because a head coach always has input. Is he just going to completely turn it over to Matt 100%? Not exactly sure. But then again, you go back to their first year at Nevada, Matt called plays, and then from there on, Jay did. But there's always been a communication between the two of them anyway. But it just might be this time around, Matt gets to say his piece first, or he gets to say the piece last. Last, obviously, because he's going to relay the play to the quarterback. Now, yeah, the way that Jay phrased it, I know confused some people, but I think you can pretty much read into that Matt will be calling the offense.
Do you worry at all that if there is going to be almost a dialogue about the play calling, that it might take longer to get the play in?
No. Nothing's going to change, and that's the fun thing. I don't know. they were all still talking to each other, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Bill Best is part of that conversation because he's the run game coordinator, and if he sees something that they're blocking really well, there's part of the process. But now the difference is Matt's going to call some things to set something else up later. And when he gets to that point, he probably won't take any input because he's done some things to set something up at a particular time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's input all the time. I mean, they're all wearing headsets. Do you think only one person ever talks?
No, I wouldn't go there, but I know that when you're trying to get that play call in, it's important to kind of have that one voice maybe, but I'm not on those headsets, so I don't know.
No, but here's the part that I think people also forget is what goes into the game prep. They spend a huge amount of hours going over the offensive game plan, and so even if Matt is calling something to set something up later, Jay knows that. Bill knows that. They're going to go in with a game plan in the first half, and they're going to say, based off what they've seen from San Diego State, we think we're going to do this. We think these run schemes work well. We think these pass schemes work well. This is where we're going to design it. Now, if something happens in the first half, that's where you make some adjustments if San Diego State throws a different blitz, if their line starts stunting in a different way that you didn't expect, and now all of a sudden you got to block things a little bit differently. But they'll do that also on the sidelines because of all the technologies that they have. They've got those notebooks, right? They can see what San Diego State said. Okay, we didn't prep for this, but this is how we're going to block this. Offensive line, see this? Remember when they did this? This is how we approach this now. Okay, so now you're back on, and now everything's set. All the hay is in the barn, really, by the time you start calling plays. It's not like I don't see the confusion that I think you're seeing. Like, you think there's a lot of voices and that's confusing. I think it's a lot of voices that are saying the same stuff they've been saying Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and they already know what they're going to do on Friday.
Well, I guess what I see, especially when I'm watching at home, is I see one guy with a play sheet covering his mouth, communicating whatever that is. I don't.
Right.
The camera's not necessarily on Matt Mummy or Bill Best. It's on Jay Norvell. And so right. I just assume right there that Norvell's got the play sheet. He's got his microphone. He's calling the play. So now I'm just wondering who has the play sheet. Who's actually calling that play?
All of them have a play sheet.
So they all three calling, like, who? But who's saying, okay, here's what we're running this play? Like, who's making that decision?
This week?
Yes, Friday.
Matt.
So Matt Mummy, first play of the game, first down. Matt's got the play sheet. He's saying exactly what the play call is. And Jay's not necessarily. Is Jay saying, it's going to be a pass or a run, Matt, you just call the appropriate play, or is this Matt is going to 100% like facilitate that?
You know, I'm going to blow your mind right now, Brady, because they can call a play and Jackson go to the line of scrimmage and it'll be a pass play and he'll go, they're in pass defense, we're going to run.
Yeah, but that's so not my question.
Does
that
not blow your mind?
No, I know what you're doing, but my question is, who is just, I know audibles happen, but who's the guy calling the play that goes to the quarterback? And that's Matt Mumme. Okay.
Yeah, Matt's doing it this week, and they'll have some discussion as things happen. It's not like you think. It's discussions that they've already had. And maybe somebody has seen something, and Bill Best sees something, and he goes, all right, they've been playing this a lot. We know this will work. Think about it. It's not like he's calling the play. But it's think about it, and now Matt can make his decisions based off that. Or in the past, Jay could make his decisions based off that.
And you told us, and I wasn't aware of this either, but talk to me a little bit about Matt Mumme's career in this, because you said he did it in the first year when they were at Nevada, Mike. Is that right?
Yeah. The first year that they were together in Nevada, Matt called plays, and then Jay took it over. And Jay had been calling plays ever since. There was a huge confusion with our fan base for a good 3 years, no matter how many times either Kevin or I tweeted it out or put in a story that Jay was calling plays, because we get barraged on social media during the game. I can't believe Matt Mumme's calling this bad of a game. Well, I can't either, because he's not calling it. You know, so
yeah, sure.
There's been some confusion out from our fan base because Matt was, quote unquote, an offensive coordinator. Okay, well, Jay was calling plays, but they worked together very well to come up with the game plan. You know what I'm saying? Now, there will be some differences in what they see and how they do it, and I don't know how great they're going to be considering how often and how long they've worked together. Matt's going to be a little bit more aggressive in a play-calling pass perspective, because this was the offense that he's coached for so long in air raid. And his dad created it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, no, nobody's, they're not going to tell us what the game plan is. They wouldn't do it any week, no matter who's calling plays. It will be interesting to see, I guess, how Matt sets up certain things. But Jay's still going to have some input.
Yeah, I always kind of viewed, especially Norvell and Mumme, as kind of like they're in the lab, they're creating all the stuff, and then once you actually get to the game, all right, Jay's taking everything they created, and now he's calling specifically that. So I always kind of had that view in my brain of how that was working between the two of them.
Right, and there was never any point in time in these last 4 years where if Matt didn't see something he didn't say to Jay, this is set up, this would be a good time for this. And Jay would just go, no, I'm not listening to you. That's not the way it worked. But it'd just be Matt. Matt will be the initial, he'll have the initial thought. Jay will have his input. Matt will go with what he wants. That's the way I see it. Does that make it easier for you? I mean, it is a different dynamic because.
Yeah.
So, like, back in the day when Mike Bobo was here, he was calling plays.
Yeah.
Mike would work with his offensive staff during the week to set up the game plan. And every now and then somebody might say, I think this works. But for the most part, Mike called the game. Mike took no input. Mike did it.
So it's always kind of been a joint effort is what you're kind of saying.
Yeah, because they work so well together and they've created this. This isn't – the air raid can take off different forms. What Mike Leach ran – would basically have one run play out of 15 plays. Jay's and Matt's have generally been three, sometimes five, depending on the week and what they thought, or depending on who the quarterback was. Like, there might have only been two run plays back in the time when Carson Strong was carving up the Mountain West, right? And they had just a core of experienced wide receivers. They've evolved this offense a little bit more that, like, if you think true air raid, it's one or two run plays and that. Mike Leach, it was one run play and a bunch of passing. And then this is what they see of it, right?
Yeah.
But they've also mixed up some concepts. Like, the run game now has a West Coast blocking scheme that they didn't use before.
Do you think this was how am I trying to phrase this? Was this a necessary announcement for Jay to have to make, or was this more of one of those things just to kind of get people to calm down a little bit? I don't know, because as I'm hearing you, it doesn't sound like a lot's changing, so I guess I'm kind of just wondering if this was even something worth putting out there.
You look at it a different way than I do. You're saying an announcement was made. I'm saying Jay honestly answered a question that was posed to him by Kevin Lytle.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Lytle asked him, is there anything? And so Jay was just being honest with him. Yes, we're looking at this a different way. So they didn't come out and make an announcement that they were switching play calling. Jay just answered a question. If nobody would have gone in and asked that question, none of us would be talking about this right now, because they would go ahead with their plan the way they thought it was, the way that they decided in their meetings, and Matt would be calling plays and nobody would know that that's going on. But Kevin asked a question,
so it's
and Jay answered it.
So it's Kevin's fault.
It's not Kevin's fault. Kevin was doing his job as a good reporter.
Yeah, well, I mean, right? But he's not the only, you know, everyone. Again, you see it, you hear it more than most. Everyone was asking those questions, right? So it makes sense why the question was brought up. But interesting. No, it's interesting to hear kind of your take on this.
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, they've been a combo for a long time. They're just going to basically switch the role of who speaks first and who speaks last.
We'll see what.
Final,
yeah, we'll see what happens Friday night, Mike. San Diego State. Obviously, it's a huge game. You know, we don't need to get into the pressure and all that stuff. We know what it is. But you know, last year they had an interesting non-conference schedule, and then they ended up almost running the table once they got into conference play. Do you see a turnaround similar to what we saw last season? Do you think that could very well happen for this team, and then suddenly 5 weeks from now, we're not having the same conversations we've been having? Like, how do you feel about this team?
I feel better about it if Tanner Morley wasn't out this week, if Jackson Horn wasn't out this week, right? But eventually, Rocky Beers has played really well at tight end. We're going to see how this offensive line comes together. You've got three running backs that are each averaging better than 5 yards per carry. If Colorado State plays clean, and I'm talking about not getting behind the chains via penalty or a bad loss on first down, right? This is a team that can score. I do see that it has the tools to score. And I do see that as well as Jackson Brousseau played last week, he can play better. And part of the reason he can play better is now that he's played a complete 60 minutes, he has that to go back on instead of just theory from, you know, what he's learned in the quarterback's room, what he's learned in offensive meetings, and then what he has to go back on back in his days when he was playing at Lehigh, right? That's a long time ago. And like I joked with him today, what he's going to see from San Diego State is going to come at him a lot faster than anything American Fork threw at him back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
So he laughed. And so, but he is. He's like, this is still just football. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit quicker. And now he's seen it at a quicker pace. He's seen it at a college level. And now he's got that in his toolbox. So I think he gets exponentially better just by having played a full game.
Well, we'll see. Friday Night Football. I love it. Colorado State, San Diego State, big one coming up for sure. Mike, my friend, what are you working on that we could check out in the next couple of days at CSURams.com?
I talked to some of the defensive linemen today because I find that group to be rather intriguing. The experience that they had, they've lost early, and you're relying on a bunch of people that haven't played a ton. Andrew Lorich has been here for a while, but he's never started a game before. Jack Moran is playing a ton. They're really happy with him. He's a redshirt freshman. Same thing with Keegan Schenck. Kenyon Aggers has not really played a whole lot. He's been a reserve. So this is a young defensive line that's actually held up fairly well, and it's trial by fire for them right now. But they really do like what they're getting from them. So I had a nice conversation with Jack Moran today and Luke Johnson, and so that was fun. And I talked a little bit to Jake Jermilich. He's an intriguing person to me. So we'll see how it all goes.
Mike's telling the stories. Appreciate it as always, my friend, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Yeah, you got Tigers or the Guardians?
I like the Guardians. I'm with you. I like the Guardians. I think they're gonna take the lead here in this inning.
I don't know. They're struck out
eight
already today.
Let's see. All right, my friend. All right, thanks, Mike.
Bye,
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I don't know. That was interesting. I'm getting a lot of texts. They're like, this is kind of an odd interview. Do you think it was an odd interview, Mike? Mike Brohard and I are. He's a friend of mine. Like I enjoy this interview. He challenges me, makes it interesting. But I kind of almost took it from him that this is a nothing burger kind of deal. Like this whole play calling change really is nothing.
I have no idea who's in that interview.
I don't know
who's making the play calls.
I still don't know.
So they all have access to the headset, but. Who's making the play calls
who's
now?
Who's calling it? Because you only have, 40 seconds? Like, you don't have time to be like, well, I'm going to run Banana Zilly 2497 swing. No, I don't like that. Okay, let's run blah, blah, blah. You don't have that time. You've got, 15 seconds to relay it to the quarter? I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. Yeah, this is cool. Hunter Green is coming back to NoCo. Well, they're on the road. CSU's on the road. It's at San Diego State, right? But Hunter Green is the punter. Former UNC Bear punter is the punter for San Diego State. How about that?
Why did he leave UNC? Why would you want to go to crappy San Diego State?
Are you really asking me that?
Probably money.
Well, it's the Mountain West compared to... The
it's
big sky.
Just one small step from the big sky. Not really a giant leap for him.
I don't know who's calling to play. Like Mike was like, and Mike's personality, like he's like, oh, here's an idea. Audible at the line. I'm not asking about that. I'm asking first quarter, first you just got the kick return. You march the offense out onto the field. Who's calling the play? And he did answer and said Matt Mummy. So there is a change. Yeah, they're still talking and conversing, but there's a very big difference between who has the final say, who's calling the actual play to go in, not who's conversing about it. Who's calling the play?
Okay, so
Matt Mummy.
Matt Mummy after all that,
yeah.
Matt Mummy.
Yes. But
exactly like we assumed.
Yeah, but Mike also
exactly
kind of
like
saying,
the announcement, which wasn't an announcement.
Which wasn't an announcement because it was a question that was asked, but in the answer, it was announced. So, no, it was not a Jay Norvell stands up and says, I doth declare, I don't know why he's talking like that now, that Matt Mummy will call the plays. He was asked if there was any discussion about who's calling the plays. Here's what I'm going to wrap up with. It's clunky, it's confusing, and it probably won't work. And that's not a knock on Matt Mummy. When things are clunky, Michael, when things are awkward, bad things happen. Michael Malone and Calvin Booth hated each other, right? That was awkward. That was rough. They did not win a championship. Two men lost their job. With Nathaniel Hackett, from the get-go, it was clunky. Couldn't get plays in.
And he said Han Solo.
Okay. I don't need one of your Star Trek references.
It's Han Solo.
Okay. Isn't it? I thought it was Captain Kirk. What's their relationship?
Franchise?
Oh. If it's clunky, if it really needs to be explained... I mean, I thought it was odd in the offseason when both Bill Best and Matt Mummy were, when they were both promoted to run game coordinator and pass game coordinator. 44 minutes after the hour. I know we have to take a break. I'm sorry.
Ready, we have to take a break.
Get the latest on the whatever.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.